two gas companies, servicemen, a senior training supervisor, and a young trainee were out checking meters, and they parked their truck at the end of an alley. As they went to the other end, at the last house, a woman was standing at her kitchen window, spectating as the two men checked the gas meter. As they finished the meter check, the older supervisor challenged the younger co-worker to a foot race down the alley back to their truck. As they came running up to the truck, they realized that the lady from the last house was huffing and puffing right behind them. They stopped and asked her, "What's wrong?" Gasping for breath, she said, "When I saw two gas PG&E men running full speed away from my house, I figured I had better participate." We're in a series starting today for the next few Sundays entitled Get in the Game. Get in the Game. Today's topic, I want to talk to you about spectators and participators. Spectators and participators. I looked up the definition and I found a few definitions for spectator. One definition says a person who sees or watches something without taking an active part. The second definition says a person who views an event without engaging or getting involved. Then I looked up a few definitions for participator. Now understand that the word participator, it's a verb. It is a action word. One definition says to have a part or share in something. Another definition implies having or taking part in an undertaking or activity. And then the third definition said to engage, take part, or get involved. Spectators and participators. I noticed that we have become a society of spectators. It is easy to watch old reruns of Friends on television than it is to make an effort to make real friends in real life. It is easy to watch people lose weight on The Biggest Loser than it is to put down a bowl of ice cream or do a little exercise ourselves. It is certainly easier to watch people paint a room or clean a closet than it is for us to do it ourselves. I think my closet, while I'm on that note, has a mind of its own. No matter how many times I clean it up and organize it, I go back and it's a mess again. It's easy to watch a football game and sit there in your comfortable easy chair and talk about what the quarterback should have done. Sometimes I find myself getting up from the easy chair, even making moves that the quarterback should have made. It's easy to sit there in the comfort of my home and say what the quarterback should have done. But it's a different story when 300-pound linemen are coming at you with the intent of putting you out of business. It's a much different thing. In fact, whole networks are dedicated to just that kind of programming. So you can watch rather than do. It's even easier to watch a TV nanny correct some bad parenting, teach you on TV how to take care of your out-of-control children. It's much easier to watch her do it than for us to do it ourselves. Centuries ago, William Shakespeare wrote some notorious plays. One of the most memorable lines from one of his plays, the famous play Hamlet. One of the most memorable sayings from that play was, "To be or not to be? That is the question." Now, you know, we talked last Sunday about the fact that we are in a battle. And we're in a war. And I thought about a natural, real battle. Picture in your mind a battlefield. There's explosions and gunfire, tanks firing off mortar rounds, people in distress and running and hiding and shooting and all kind of chaos going on the battlefield. Imagine in your mind one soldier comes and gets a lawn chair and places that chair right in the heat of battle and sits in the middle of the battle while the battle's going on. How odd would that be in the middle of battle for that soldier to sit there in an easy chair with a nice cold glass of Kool-Aid or Starbucks coffee and sit in the middle of the battle. That seems ridiculous, but I want you to know today we are in a battle, and if you are sitting in the middle of the battle and you never get out of your seat, you're no different than that soldier who's sitting in the middle of a war. Somebody ought to say amen to that. I'm not trying to step on any toes, but we're talking about spectators and participators today. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote a similar thought-provoking statement in James 1 and 22. Listen to this. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says." Even the day in which we live, another unforgettable phrase has been introduced to us by the Nike Corporation. Nike says, "Just do it." When you and I do something, we are participators. When we watch someone else do something, we are spectators. Every believer is either a participator or a spectator. Listen, God has given each one of you a unique gift. He has given each one of you a talent and a purpose. And your talent and purpose is designed just for you. I want you to understand today that each one of you are here on this earth for a reason. God does not make mistakes. Now, your mom and dad might have told you that you were an accident, that they didn't mean for you to be here, but I want you to know today that God knew you were going to be here. He knew that you were going to be on this earth, and he gave you a talent. He gave you a gift. You may say, I can't sing. I'm not a preacher. I don't speak well. But I want you to know that God has a job for you that fits you. He has equipped you with the right stuff to do exactly what he has created you to do. It's like making fruit salad. When you make fruit salad, you get some apples, some oranges, some grapes, some melon, some strawberries, whatever you like in your fruit salad, and you put it all together, and it becomes a fruit salad. I stopped by to tell you today, church, that you have fruit, and it's called the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says that we ought to have the fruit of the Spirit. We ought to have love, joy, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. But here is the truth. We don't all possess all of the fruit of the Spirit. It is our job, our goal, in order to possess them all. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't have long-suffering. Sometimes I'm not as gentle as I should be. But there are the fruits of the Spirit. And this is how it works in the church. You might have the apples, and you may have the melons, and you may have the grapes. Oh, listen to me this morning. You may be up in the joy department. And over here, you might be up in the meekness department. And you might be an expert in the love department. But when we as a church put all of our fruit together, we can make a fruit salad. And then when people come to those doors, we can offer them a meal, because we are offering them together meekness, love, temperance, joy, peace, and long-suffering. Listen, God did not save you to sit on your gift. I had in my notes, sit on your assets, but I decided not to use that in church. Why do you think that God didn't take you out of this world as soon as he saved your soul? Because you have work to do here. You are God's representatives on this earth. God has called each believer to be a light in the dark world. Let's look at what Matthew says in the 5th chapter, starting at the 13th verse. He says, you are the salt of the earth. I might have the wrong scripture on the screen. I see that, Marva, I'm sorry. It's Matthew 5 and 13. Let me read it to you, and I apologize for the screen. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on under the feet. The 14th verse says, you are the light of the world. I'm sorry. A town built on a hill which cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. You ought to be on a stand today, and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Listen, the light must shine to the ends of the earth, not just in church. Not just in a church building amongst a whole lot of believers. But your light must shine on your job. Your light must shine in your car. Listen, when that person cuts you off on the freeway, your light needs to shine. No gang signs, no finger movements, but let your light shine. Listen, the church is a place for participators, not spectators. Yet many Christians today think that this type of involvement in other lives is too costly. So they come on Sunday and we stand and sing. We sit and listen. And then we walk out of the doors and get in our cars and go back to our everyday lives. In fact, many churches are filled with born-again people who sit in the pews each week but never touch the life of a fellow believer. There was a parable that Jesus told once. The parable is called the parable of the Good Samaritan. A lot of you know the story. It's a famous parable. As a matter of fact, there is laws now that's named after this parable, the Good Samaritan law. There's hospitals named after this parable. It's a parable about a man who was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho. And on his way there, he was robbed and beaten and left for dead. And there were some people that passed by and saw this man in his condition. The parable says that the priest walked by and went to the other side of the street. He was a spectator, not a participator. And then another religious person, the Levite, walked by and saw this man in need. And the parable says that he went to the other side and walked by. But then came a participator, a Samaritan who was not even a religious person, but he came by and saw the man in need. And the Bible says that he attended to the needs of the man and provided him clothes and a place to stay until his wounds were healed. That's the difference between a spectator and a participator. We don't want to let the world out-participate us. Although we are all saved individually, the Lord doesn't intend for us to live as if we are on an island by ourselves. We are called the body of Christ. And as such, we are one body with many members. Now, you may not be good with small children. You may not be good in stars. But you can pray in warrior work. You may not have the talent to mow the grass, but you have the gift to wipe the tables. You may not be able to cook, but you have the talent to love on somebody. You may not be a greeter, but you have the gift to pray for somebody. What I'm trying to say is that we all have something to give. We all ought to be participators and not spectators. Our lives are meant to touch, intersect, and connect with others, believers in the local church. However, the job of the church is not to impact the church, but it is to impact the world. Jesus said it like this: the whole need not a physician. If you're already well, then you don't need a doctor. And if we're all believers, then we don't need to be witnessed to about becoming a believer. But it is up to us to go out and bring somebody to Christ. $67,000 people pay $50 a ticket to see the 49ers play football. They don't pay that money to watch them in a huddle talking about what they want to do. That's not what they paid for. 67,000 people pay $50 a ticket to see what the difference is after they come out of the huddle. What they want to know is, after calling the play in the huddle, does it work on the field? The challenge for the church is not what we do when we call our play on Sunday morning in the huddle, but what we do when we leave the huddle and go out to the mission field. If you're going to get in the game today, Grace Community Church, it would not happen unless you know the playbook. God has given us the playbook for the game. It is the word of God. Now listen, when in a game, when the quarterback calls a play in the huddle, he calls an abbreviation from the playbook. He does not explain in details the play. It is up to the player to know what the play is. Sometimes it's a number. He'll just say 692 or whatever slogan they come up with, and the players, from based on what he says, does the play. We in the church, in order to do what God says, we have to know the playbook. God does not have to give us a new revelation. He does not have to give us a new prophecy. But the playbook was made years and years ago. All we have to do is know the playbook. You're supposed to have it in your memory. If you do not know the playbook, you will never be in the game. You have to have it in your heart. Look at what Psalms 119, 11 and 13 says. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart. Yes. That I might not sin against you. Please be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I remember what you said. Anytime you're in the game of life, anytime you get in the game, every play, everything that can possibly happen to you is covered in the Word of God. When you are born again, you become a part of the body. You become a spiritual free agent. Get in the game. Contribute your gift. Christianity is a contact sport. The true joy and being satisfied in the journey of faith comes when we are out of the stands into the game on the court. God wants all believers to get in the game and play to win. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Listen, getting involved in your church, using your gifts, will accelerate your spiritual growth greatly. It is like an athlete that never exercises. Eventually, his body is going to give up. But the more you exercise, the stronger you get, the more you do, the more gooder, the better you get at it. Listen, that's the principle of exercising. Did you not know that when you exercise, you tear down your muscles? You actually destroy part of your muscles. And your body reacts by building your muscles even stronger to make up for what you've torn down. That's the way it is in our spiritual walk. The more you do for Christ, the more you will grow. The more you give, the more you have. The more you talk, the more you have something to talk about. The more you do for God. God designed us that way. Listen, church, don't head for the grandstands when you enter the kingdom of God. Head for the playing field. That's where the excitement is. That's where the action is. 1 Peter 4 and 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to save others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its victorious form, in its various forms. The King James Version says like this, be a good steward of manifold grace of God. The word manifold means many and varying. Your gift is different than mine. For some, what you do as a participant will look different from the next person. Not everyone will have the same role. Each person's talents and gifts are different. And therefore, your contribution will look different. But don't give up. Don't get discouraged because you can't do. Listen, if I could sing, I would be on the worship team. But I cannot sing. That is not the gift that God gave me. But I tell you, God gave me his word. And he said to me, preach in season. Preach out of season. Preach when they want to hear it. Preach when they don't want to hear it. That's the gift God gave me. I can't sing a lick, but I can talk the words of a song. I remember when, well, let me say this first, in football, a team needs more than a quarterback. Listen, the kicker can't do what the linebacker can do. The tight end can't do what the cornerback can do. I thought about when my son played football. He played 3 years at Brookside Christian High School in Stockton, and then he went on to college to play football. But when he was in high school, I was his number one fan. I did not miss one game in 3 years of him playing football. I was always there. As a matter of fact, the joke and became from the coaches, if Spencer's dad is not there, then he won't do well. I was there for every game. Each game, I would dress up in the school colors. I thought I was a Stockton Knight. I was the only parent allowed on the sideline during the game. I would literally run down the sideline with my son as he ran a touchdown on the field. But I was still just a spectator because I was not actually in the game. I might have gotten arrested if I would have attempted to suit up in a Brookside uniform and ran out on the field during a school game. But that is not the case with our faith. Instead, we are actually called out on the field. With the Great Commission, we are commanded to get out and be participators. This is not on the screen, but Matthew 28 and 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Listen, church, there is no limitations here, no security guards keeping you in the stand. There is actually a coach out on the field calling our names and beckoning for us to come out on the field. Jesus is sending us all out to be participants. We are to step out of the stands onto the field. We are to join the battle. We ought to be saying to God, put me in the game, coach. Put me in the game. And when we are in the game together, when we're fighting together, then we are a strong team. We are a strong force. When you're using your gifts and your talents, and you're using your gifts and your talents, and we all come together and we begin to use our gifts of God together, we can be a difference in this community. We can be the beacon light that shines on a hill in Lathrop. We can be the people where when people are in need, they can say, I can go to Grace Community Church because they're a church of praying people. They're a church of believing people. They're a family that believes and loves on people. Don't you want to be that church? Don't you want to be that church today? Then don't be spectators. Be participators. Unbuckle your seatbelts. Feel free to walk about the cabin. In closing, I say to you today, because I'm out of time, it is time that we get up out of our seats, loosen the seatbelts, let go of the chair. It's time that we participate and do what God has called us to do. Nowhere in the description of salvation does it say bench warmer, second string. But we are starters in the game of life. Amen? Let us pray. Dear gracious Father, we thank you today because you have opened up the way that we as believers can be participators, that we can reach people, touch people. Lord, I pray today that you would stir up our very souls, that you would open up our arisings. Let us know, Lord, that we are called for a reason. Those that are among us that feel they have nothing to contribute, no gift, nothing to give, let them know that you have given them something. From the very day of being in the mother's womb, God has given you something, something to do in his kingdom. Help us to find our gift. Help us to find our purpose and our direction so we will no longer be spectators but participators. Bless us in Jesus' name. Let the whole church say, amen.